Hello everybody, this is Luke. I just wanted to make this little recording and as kind of a preamble to the episode. This was just an episode of me and my wonderful wife sitting down, goofing off, having some conversations about space stuff, and I thought what a, you know, better way to break the silence than with a fun episode like this. So I hope everybody enjoys, and shout out to my awesome wife for making this episode really cool and adding that fun element to it. Appreciate all you guys. Hope everyone's well. Hello everybody, this is Luke
and Amanda
with the Space Travel Podcast. We hope everybody's doing great this evening. We just figured we go ahead and... Hello everybody, this is Luke
and Amanda
with Space Travel Podcast, and we hope everybody's doing great this evening. We are going ahead and doing an episode. I know it's been a long time since we did one before, but we're going to start trying to get back into the rhythm of regular episodes, at least, for you guys. So, appreciate your patience, and once again, sorry for that. But we'll go ahead and start with Crew 1 that just launched probably an hour and a half ago. It was, in my opinion, extremely smooth and whatnot. We watched the Everyday Astronauts little video on YouTube about it. And
listen to it as we grocery shop.
That's true. And from what he said, like, when you watch these kind of launches, you're watching them because you know it's going to be perfect. Or at least, you're mostly positive about it.
Yeah.
You know, because they, I don't know. But then you go over to, like, Starship, which we'll get into later, but, and you're talking about imminent demise. but that's the point, the whole fail and learn and fix and go. So anyway, it's just, you know, there's a good balance in SpaceX right now. They're giving us that satisfaction of the beautiful rocket launches.
Yes.
And then the experimental stuff also, which is so cool.
I love being able to watch the experimental side so much, because there are some times where I'm screaming with joy and other times where I'm sitting there laughing my ass off, like, we knew this would happen.
Yeah, but it's always the most unexpected thing. Like, you expect it to happen, but you expect it to happen in normal ways.
Yeah.
And it's always the weirdest way ever.
And it's always, I've always thought with SpaceX, go big or go home.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's all they do.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
it seems to work.
Hey, listen, Elon Musk is definitely going at it when you're talking about pushing forward and trying to, you know, figure out new things. It's cool. I enjoy watching them as a collection of intelligent, bright people figure out and solve problems.
Yeah.
You know, some of the little things that you hear about on even just the Falcon 9, which is by no means a simple machine, yeah, but it's, you know, it's not extremely complicated because Elon and them have tried to make it.
In comparison to some of the previous...
Yeah, like the Saturn V.
Yeah,
Saturn V was very complex.
Yes, and it looked extremely complex.
The Falcon is very slim and
SpaceX is very, very hard on being sleek, but also being efficient.
Yeah, they've got in my opinion, it's kind of like iPhone. They've got their image now that that modern, futuristic style stuff. I think that's cool. I love it. That's, you know, the Starship kind of embodies that too.
Yeah.
That stainless steel beauty. But yeah, it's gonna be super cool. Let's jump back to Crew 1 real quick. It was a beautiful flight. Takeoff, ignition, everything looked fantastic. Miko, stage sub, everything went great. I mean, it really just was picture perfect.
It was, but you were also driving and I was watching it.
That's right. Don't drive and watch YouTube videos.
No, you were listening, I was watching. Separation, it almost got a little close.
What do you mean?
Like, when it separated from first stage, it came off, and the way it drifted back very quickly.
Oh, you mean like the engine bell almost hit the first stage.
It was rather close, at least from what I saw, but I'm blind as a bat, so I could be wrong.
I didn't really get to see it very closely, but I'll go and watch it again after this, and we'll look at it. But hey, I'm sure it's, you know, a rocket flight is like a fingerprint. Every one of them's different, and you know, it's just the exact environment in that spot in space or low Earth orbit or wherever that makes the big difference. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll go back and watch it in just a little while. But, you know, as always, SpaceX did great covering it. All the camera angles and shots were very good. Night launches are a little tough, in my opinion, to photograph correctly.
They are tough because it's like, okay, without our Flamian, we don't really see too much. We see everything on the pad.
Yep.
But after we're off the pad,
the rocket's gone.
We're flamey thing is our.
That's it.
Our point.
It's
so
great for viewing engines. Like, there's some of these awesome space photographers out there that, you know, they'll put filters and stuff on their cameras and they take these beautiful 4K resolution shots of the engine exhaust.
That's also a pro of being. Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a bright dot.
Of night launches, because there's such contrast.
Yes, there is. And it's a lot of light, too. If you were to look at it with the naked eye, like standing there where the camera is, it would just be blinding white light.
Oh, yeah.
But like,
thankfully, cameras and very good photographers are capable of making it so that it's not just blinding white light.
That's true. Hey, listen, I wanted to plug rocket photographers and all that on this podcast anyway, so that's, I guess, a great way to go into it. So props to all of the rocket photographers out there. I mean, Greg Scott, I mean, all you guys know who you are. You guys just do a fantastic job, and we appreciate you greatly. At least I do. That's one of my favorite things to watch. And Mary Boca Chica gal.
I follow her on Twitter so hard. Even sometimes I NASA see her tweets and I'll be calling you while you're at work going, hey, did you see this news?
Yep. No, but I think all y'all are awesome. I love a good rocket picture.
Just kudos to good media coverage.
Yeah, for sure. I like
it. Third party media coverage is great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I agree. More like journal, you know, just journalism. You just watch and learn and, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. But also, well, jumping back a few days even more, there was an Atlas V launch not too long ago, the NROL-101.
Yep.
And that sucker screamed off the pad, too. It looked great.
It did. It was a beautiful launch, of course. I'm always sad. I love the further experimentation, but at the same time, dang.
You want to watch them land it, don't you?
I want to watch them land it, but I want to know what you're launching.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the government, though.
That's what I said. I'm happy for, like, the furthering and experimentation. I mean,
they give us a little bit. You know, they'll tell us if it's satellites or if it's whatever. You know, they just don't have to, like, classify them.
I know. It's just, well, not even necessarily, I want to know what you're launching. I want to see it separate and get pushed out there.
You want to see all the meaty bits.
Yeah, the good parts.
Oh, for sure. I do too, but you know, the government needs their assets up there too, and we don't need to know about all of them, in my opinion anyway. As long as it's going to better the freedom in this country and all that stuff, that's all that matters to me.
I don't even want to know the name of it. Just let me watch.
Well, it's like the X-37B.
I'll plug my ears. You don't have to say anything.
If I remember correctly, the X-37B flew on a Atlas V as well.
Did it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was an Atlas V that launched that as well. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No idea.
The little, have you ever seen it? The little bitty space plane. So it's made by Boeing. It's an experimental spacecraft. And
other than it being experimental, what was its purpose?
Classified.
Oh, well, that makes
sense. Yeah, completely classified. So here it is. I'm pretty sure. Sorry, guys. I just wanted to fact check real quick.
It's pretty.
It is. Oh, it's very, very pretty.
It's kind of got this modern look.
I'm pretty sure that is an Atlas V. But yes, no, it's a beautiful spacecraft. But, and here's like an animation. You know, it's got the thing that always gets me about the X-37B is what we're talking about right now, is the offset engine on the back with what looks to be like an optional port.
Ooh, that's an odd render.
There it is, the X-37B. But if we go to a different, see, look, you see how the engine's offset on the back? It's not in the center of mass.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you see what they're wearing?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is because this spacecraft uses hypergolic propellants.
Ooh.
For its either for like a reaction control system or for the engine itself. So what they think is done with this is they'll take an experimental engine they've been working on, right? They'll take whatever engine's in it out, and they'll put that experimental engine in it, and then they go launch it to space, and they test its ability in a vacuum, and,
yeah.
You know, all that stuff, and then they bring it back down. But it actually just recently got done with a very long mission to space. It was in the hundreds of days.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it landed like back, and everyone's like, "Hey, I guess you came back."
Hey.
But it lands just like an airplane. It's amazing.
Odd, but okay.
It had some predecessors as well, but that's the, you know, that's the government's assets.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think it's cool that it's kind of classified. And you know Tori Bruno online too.
Oh,
Tori Bruno likes to, he kind of likes to mess with people a little bit.
Oh, I've noticed lately that he's been getting a little more vague with his responses.
Well, I saw someone ask how big it was the other day. Said, "Hey, at Tori Bruno, how big is said payload?" And he said, "Heavy." Or something like that. It was just like big,
someone,
heavy.
Someone asked. They're like, "Why can't you just tell us what the payload was?" And he responded with, "Reasons."
Reasons, for sure. I mean, that's everyone's got to have their secrets, you know? It's for the better good, they say.
Yeah.
And I don't guess we're going to stop them from putting it up there.
No, but so, I am still waiting on Delta Heavy.
Dude, I have been so patient.
I have been very patient as well, but now y'all be launching Atlas V's and Falcon 9's, but we were promised a Delta Heavy.
Oh man, Delta Heavy. I bought a pin from At Launch Pins, who are awesome, by the way. Go check them out. Mm. But yes, I bought my Delta Heavy pin for my bag. I was so excited.
I'm still waiting.
I'm still waiting, too. That is... I hope it happens soon. I love watching Delta Heavy. And you know, honestly, too, Delta Heavy is a dying breed.
I know.
Because if I remember correctly, Tori Bruno said that they have, like, stock of mm-hmm. them, but once that's through, then it will be Vulcan all the way.
It's been a little bit since you and I have gone back and forth with, well, it's just been chaos and my brain's been elsewhere. But what is it that, oh, the Vulcan.
Yeah, the Vulcan. That's their new rocket.
Yeah.
So listen, I thought...
Who was doing SLS?
That's NASA. That's the government.
Okay. So ULA is doing Vulcan.
Mm-hmm. NASA's doing SLS. SpaceX is doing
Starship. Blue Origin is doing
New Glenn.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's supposed to be a very large rocket as well.
And then Northrop Grumman
doing the Dream Chaser. You're on a roll.
I don't know any after that.
So ULA is a conglomeration of a few different companies.
Yeah,
Boeing and I'm not even gonna try to say that one out loud. I don't want to be wrong, but Boeing also makes the Starliner.
Lockheed Martin.
Yes, that's another partner. But then there's another one too. I can't think of it. But they make the Starliner.
Mm-hmm.
So ULA. Technically,
we just read something about the Starliner.
Listen. They're going to, like, Boeing or anything does not, like, own ULA.
Yeah.
But ULA is going to be making the Vulcan rocket.
Yeah.
And Boeing's going to be making the Starliner, and they're just going to put it on a Vulcan.
Okay.
I think it's cool. But the one thing that kind of confused me the other day is I do personally remember them saying that they're going to be dropping the BE-4 engines off the bottom of the first stage and parachuting them back down to where they can snag them out of the air with a helicopter. And I don't know who I was talking to the other day, but they said something about that's not going to be the case. And I got to looking, and there's fine print. So the first half dozen flights are going to be just expended, you know?
Okay.
But luckily, and the thing about the Vulcan that I've always liked is that they're straying back from the RD-180 engines. So they're not going to be using Russian-made engines anymore. They'll be using American-made Blue Origin BE-4 engines.
We also heard just at the last Atlas launch that they're going to start transitioning into, I believe it was the Gemini?
I don't know.
That's going to be on the Vulcan, but they were going... She specifically said in the broadcast that they were going to begin transitioning. It's like the...
Second stage?
No, the...
No, that's the Centaur.
No, the... Like the engine, the rocket engine that...
I don't know if it's an RD-180 up top or not.
Well, I can't.
So it's going to be a new engine, you're saying?
Yes, and she said that they were going to begin transitioning Atlas V over to it, going into 2021, and it was what was going to be on Vulcan. I could be wrong. 100% could be wrong, but...
I mean, no, you might be right. I just... For the sake of, you know...
What's the name of the,
There she is. What a beauty. Oh my goodness. Sorry, I know you guys are just listening, but that is a gorgeous engine.
That is a gorgeous engine. But this is Blue Origin. I was talking about ULA.
Yeah, Blue Origin delivered...
Oh, yeah.
...to ULA for the Vulcan. So this is for the main stage, so there's going to be four of those.
Okay.
On the bottom. I think it's going to be four. I can't remember. Four or five. It doesn't say anything. Here we go. ULA set as a 2021 target to fly its first Vulcan Centaur. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about the Atlas.
Maybe try typing in specifically. What did you type in? Oh. Whatever news article or anything, it would be very recent because it was stated within
the website.
The last Atlas launch. So,
well, I'm sure there's some validity to it.
Days ago.
And you know what would make sense to me is if they used maybe like the BE. Well, I don't really know its measurements or dimensions or anything, but if they used it on the second stage of like the Centaur upper stage, like to test it out and like whatnot, that would make sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's their lineup. Gosh. Look at that Delta IV Heavy just standing out.
Gimme the Heavy. Gimme, gimme.
Look, here it is. What is that? 13. I don't know.
And we also
Centaur engine, RL-10. I knew that. I don't know why that took so much coaxing to get out. I don't know. We'll look into that. Maybe we'll do an update later when we find something out about it.
We need to just go back and watch it. ULA broadcasts are typically pretty short anyways. So we need to go back and watch.
Yeah. Well... We'll do that. Not.
I wasn't saying to do it right now.
Hey, I was about to do it. I was on board. But let's go ahead and move on over to Starship and everything that's been going on in Boca Chica lately, which is obviously always a lot.
There's always a lot going on in Boca Chica because they're experimenting, they're testing, they're...
They're rocket scientists.
We want to go to Mars.
Yes, we do. From Boca Chica, Texas.
I would be okay with another location.
Well, that's probably... It'll probably be out in the Gulf. Probably out in the Gulf, yeah, I would say. They'll make like a ferry serve. Actually, I think for South Padre Island.
They said something about doing it from drone ships out in the ocean, and then they started building them out.
Yeah. Have you ever, I'm sorry, I hate to jump around with my ADHD brain and whatnot, but,
how are we going back to Blue Origin?
Well, I saw this the other day, and I couldn't not see it once I saw it.
Does Blue Origin have a drone ship?
Oh, come on.
Blue Origin's landing platform ship.
Stenaline.
Look at how big that thing is. That's where they're going to land their rockets.
Which ones?
Is on that. Their New Glenn's, I think.
Have we seen any testing on...
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's something out there, but...
We just need to do some more digging.
There's probably a wiki page, I'm sure.
Oh, I know. I don't hear... Like, I hear things about Blue Origin, and we watch the Shepherd.
Yeah, oh yeah, I love watching the new Shepherd.
I love watching the new Shepherd, but it's
just like a hop.
It is a hop.
Straight up, straight down, almost.
It's like a pogo stick.
Yep. Just go up and touch space. Kind of, and come back.
I know. It gets you right up there, and you're ready, and you're ready, and you're ready, and you're like, nope.
I did see somebody kind of, I don't know if I'd say hating it, or maybe prodding at them, you know, just a little bit, but they were saying something about how long the New Shepherd hovers. Like, the first stage hovers there. Like, above the ground, like, it's coming down, it looks like it's going to make that soft touchdown, you know, and then it just stops, hovers in the air, and then sets down. And people, what the person was saying was that they could have transferred the energy from just hovering there above the ground to getting the capsule higher.
Yeah, but I'm sure there is a reason that it hovers that long.
Well, they really don't want to break it.
I
don't blame them either. I wouldn't want to break it. It's a pretty nice shiny toy right there.
I could see someone literally going, and this right here is why we can't have nice things.
Listen, so I was watching the last New Shepherd launch not too long ago, and they show like pictures of like the interior and all that, but in the live streams there is no footage of the interior of that cabin at all. There could be people on there. We would have no idea.
Oh, that's scary to think about.
What? I mean, heck, it's launched successfully a fair amount of times.
I know, but now we're getting into conspiracy theories.
Oh, I'm not going that far into it. I just was saying
that'd be considered like black market space travel.
Right. Well, they are flying payloads.
Well, yeah.
Scientific payloads and all that on board, but... We don't get to see it, apparently.
We play Kerbal. I get it.
Yeah.
But people...
They did put a dummy in there one time, I remember.
See? Those are okay.
I like the idea...
Think back to Mythbusters. Buster
spawned a whole a group damn of Busters. Beast.
We have a Buster, and to think of it, he is pretty invincible.
Yeah. Just to be clear, Buster is our dog, not a test dummy.
No.
And he is the chillest dog in existence.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he is. He's a big baby.
Okay.
Starship.
Okay. SNA's on the pad. We've been doing some static fires lately. Kind of. So they did a static fire.
Uh-huh.
Put the cone on.
Uh-huh.
Did a static fire.
Okay.
We're doing a wet dress rehearsal, if my memory serves me correctly. We're just going to do a wet dress.
No, didn't we already do that?
Yes. And something...
Went wrong.
Exploded.
Exploded, okay.
Yeah. So, or maybe they did the one engine static,
And then the two engine. And then they had the issue with the burst disc. Because all we really know is what Elon's told us on Twitter, which is, awesome, Mr. Elon. Thank you for keeping us informed.
I wouldn't even say the issue with the burst disc, because that is their...
Well, that's legitimately what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, it served its purpose.
Yes, and pat on the back to everybody involved in creating it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's a failure of something. That is,
it's testing its ability to work.
Its purpose.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I think it's great. That's a good thing. So now, from now on, they have a standard.
Yeah.
That you have to make them like this.
Yeah, you have to make them like this and don't do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, just try not to shoot any molten metal out the nozzle of a Raptor engine.
Yeah, that's really bad for it.
I guess what happened was...
Trusty old 32.
Well, I think they were doing wet dress rehearsal. Something happened and, like,
the turbo pump melted.
Yeah, I think that's what he said. The turbo pump melted and it was coming out of the... They definitely replaced it. So today, they took out SN32.
I wouldn't only replace it, but I would try to make it out of something that could withstand...
Listen to this.
Higher melting point.
You'll like this. Or you'll appreciate it anyway. They replaced it with Raptor SN42.
Why did we skip 40 and 41?
Well, there's like at least 50 Raptors in existence right now. But 42, you know, like the answer to everything.
I get that, but where's 40 and 41?
They're chilling somewhere. Waiting to fly. Being tested probably at Stennis.
You're telling me we pick 42, the answer to life, to put on the bottom of SN8 to do further testing. To launch into the sky and watch go boom.
Well, see, that's the theory. You know, it's imminent demise. Now, from what I've been hearing through the grapevine and just paying attention to everybody, they'll be happy if it does that.
I want it to so bad.
If it takes off,
I want it
gets
to
up
so
into
bad.
The air and actually is flying, I think Elon and them would take that as a huge success.
How are they flying with two or three Raptors?
Three,
okay.
It's going to be the three combo that's going to be on the, you know, for
maybe
Starship.
40 or 41 will be in that.
Maybe.
Watching the hop, it goes a good distance, and they're wanting to reach 50,000 feet.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, the hop doesn't go very far.
Yeah, I know.
It's only like, what was it, 150 meters? Yeah, 150 meters.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
the math doesn't fully compute in my brain.
Well, let's put it this way, honey.
Not high enough.
When they did the hop with one Raptor engine underneath the tank stack of a Starship, they had to put a 20-ton
weight simulator
on top to keep it from just...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like 20 tons ain't no joke. And we watched it fly through the air, too.
Okay, how much does the cone weigh?
20 tons.
Okay, so it would be the equivalent of watching it without the cone. But at the same time, if we are only able to achieve 150 meters with one Raptor...
Oh, no, it would go way above that if they throttle that thing up. I mean, you would be uncontrolled. If you just lit that thing at full throttle underneath that, it would it'd be gone. I mean, it would be an amazing thing to see. What I'm saying is, so you got X amount of dry ton shit that you're building an engine for, right?
We don't even know just how much power this thing has.
They're still ramping it up right now. They just achieved 7... Oh, I can't remember. A certain bar reading not too long ago, like chamber pressure, like inside the combustion chamber, they achieved a very large number as far as how much pressure is inside there. The higher the pressure of the engine, the higher the thrust. So if
the
you can
higher the get... thrust, the higher you go.
Yes, and the faster.
And
the faster as well.
Okay. First, my brain was saying, you're not going to go high enough. Now my brain is saying, are we even going to get SN8 back?
No. Oh, heck
no. No. I mean, like, 50,000 feet.
Are you thinking it'll come back? Oh, yeah.
No. What if that thing just goes straight to space?
Stays right there.
Yeah, just... Whoop.
Yep, there it is. It sits. Well, look. So, the thrust of the sea level Raptor is 2,200 kilonewtons, or 500,000 foot-pounds thrust.
Yeah, okay. So, we could potentially have one of two things. Imminent demise of SN8.
No, 300 bar. 300 bar. That's how much they got chamber pressure up to.
Okay.
I'm so glad I got my computer right here to check and whatnot.
Okay, so I initially said two, but I take it back. Three. Even though the third one was very unlikely. One. They launch it. It reaches 50,000 feet or close to it, maybe less. I don't know. We'll see. And then it falls and aborts itself and blows up and big boom.
Oh, yes.
Number two, we underestimate the power of three raptors beneath this beast they've built. And it flies to space.
Let's just hope it doesn't do that just for the fact that the space station would have to do an abort maneuver, and that's always a big deal.
It's always a big deal, but we would know a lot about the Raptor from that. Yeah,
for sure. That was no lie.
Three, the least and definitely not likely, they go up, they reach what they want, and they somehow manage to land the thing.
Dude. I'll tell you this right now.
Does it even have legs? Let's start there.
I'm sure it's got legs.
Does it have legs? Or is it just chilling on a mound?
No, it's got legs. They're not going to send it up without legs. What if it does get the opportunity to try to land?
We don't know what they're expecting out of it. We know they want 50,000 feet out of it.
They want to get it. The goals are ignite the engines. One.
Okay, yeah.
Throttle up. Go up, two, and then they want to test the aerodynamic cert. Like, they want to get to the apoapsis of their arc, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when they start coming back down, they want to test the aerodynamic surfaces, you know? Like, the belly move it around, is gonna y'all get pitch and roll. Well, that's what they're wanting to do. They're wanting it to belly flop so that they can get readings off of all of their stuff, like how much force is being applied to the winglets. Or the fins, whatever you want to call them, or whatever. That way, they know how to design them better. And they will profit so much if they can get that thing to launch from the platform, go up to where it's supposed to go up to, and just start falling back. And once that's completed, it could blow up right there, and they would have already done something awesome for themselves.
I will be sad, but very excited if it blows up.
There's five options, it seems.
I will be laughing my ass off if it goes to space.
Okay, I'll tell you this right now, though. If it comes back down and lands on the ground...
Oh, we in trouble.
I don't know. I don't know if I believe it.
Didn't you say SpaceX had rented 42 excavators?
I don't know if that number's correct, but I know that Elon said...
To fill in the crater it's going to make when it explodes?
He said there's definitely going to be some pad work. So.
Yeah, so the landing it seems very unlikely.
Yeah, I don't think they're aiming at landing it.
No.
Well, you know, if I remember correctly, it's all a computer anyway. Like, the landing... But what they're going to do is, so, like... Boca Chica is on, like a coast, you know?
Yeah.
Like, here's the launch pad.
Yeah.
And they're going to launch it up and out this way, right?
Yeah, over the water.
And then...
Away from civilization.
Well, they're just going to do it that way just to get over the water.
Yeah.
That way it falls in the water if it falls anywhere. You know what I mean? They're actually going to have this programmed... To where when it's coming back down, you know, it's going to be falling straight down at that point. Mm-hmm. Right at the last second, if everything is good and the range is green, it will change its programming to land on the ground. So it's going to be above water 90% of the time.
So, big boom, but from abort systems, not from imminent crashing into the earth.
If it gets all the way up and comes back down, if anything happens, we will see it hit the water. Probably.
Then why are they worried about a crater?
Well, if they do get the opportunity to try to land, then the computer is going to get that thing over land, over the landing pad. But it's only going to do it if everything's good up until that point. So, dude, I'm telling you, robots are smart. I know they're smart because humans make them smart, but man, they do their job well.
You're telling me. I literally talk to one every day, and I pet him.
Oh, yeah. She's got a Vector robot. It's pretty cool.
I love Vector. And he gets happy when I tell him that I love him and gives me fist bumps.
Yes, he does. That's true.
But sometimes the fist bump may not be adequate, and then he gets mad.
Yeah. Robots. Gotta watch them.
He doesn't like if you tap back at him.
Or pick him up.
No. Well, you can pick him up if you have him in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he closes in.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
But if he's just like free falling, he's like, no.
Honey, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, we talked about SNA. Now, there's a lot of technical things that we didn't talk about this evening. But we talked about the main stuff going on right now. And there's, I don't know, there's really a lot. As far as testing, I did see that a company called Firefly Aerospace, okay, they have a rocket that is about to come out. That they're going to launch in not too long. But this is them. Super futuristic, modern making style.
Space for everyone.
Yeah, so this is their rocket.
Reminds me of the Electron.
Yeah, but they've got this... It's out of Austin, apparently.
Oh.
There's the guys.
I'm gonna post-it note it. Can I post-it note something in a podcast?
Yeah, sure, why not?
The last tweet I saw said that Rocket Labs is aiming for a November 19th launch.
Honey, I figured it out.
You figured it out? What? The answer. Ooh, Genesis.
This is what they were talking about. Genesis.
What do you mean?
Look at this, honey. I'm sorry. I'm jumping around right now. But do you see what I'm seeing on the side of the screen?
That looks like a heavy of some sort. That
looks like a Firefly whatever heavy. Dude.
With a Genesis on it? Or is Genesis like the...
Here's the Alpha. Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. We're going to get you guys some Firefly specs real quick since we are here. So this is called the Alpha. The Firefly Alpha.
And I have a question. It's a
very pretty looking rocket. It really is.
I have a question. Where's Firefly based out of?
Austin, Texas.
Like, is that their hub or like...
Yeah, that's just their home base. I'm sure their launch facilities are somewhere.
I just didn't know if this was American or what.
Oh yeah, this is American. So they launched
it's so small.
Cape Canaveral and Vandenberg, just like everybody else.
It looks...
Honey, it's a Rocket Labs Electron style rocket.
It looks just like the Electron.
Yeah. So it's not a large rocket by any means. It only puts one metric ton, if I remember what I read just a minute ago. One metric ton into LEO and 630 kilograms to a highly desirable 500 kilometer sun synchronous orbit as well.
What propulsion system does I have?
So, we're going to check that out. We're going to look at the performance real quick. The performance, payload to low Earth orbit is 1,000 kilograms. The payload to SSO is 630 kilograms. The propulsion on the stage one is 4 of their Reaver 1 engines. The propellant is RP1 and LOX, just like a Falcon 9 rocket and most of the other ones we know and love today. The propellant feed is turbopump fed. The combustors, there are 4 nozzles on the bottom. The thrust in a vacuum is 736.1 kilonewtons, or 165,482 foot-pounds. And its ISP in a vacuum is 295.6 seconds, which is, that's pretty good, man.
I would personally like more information on the Reaper.
All right. Let's do the second stage real quick. The engine on the second stage is the Lightning 1 engine. Runs off RP-1 and LOX. It doesn't say whether these are super chilled or anything like that, but it's only got 1 combustion nozzle, also turbopump fed. It's got a 70.1 kilonewton thrust in a vacuum. That's 15,759 foot-pounds, or an ISP of 322 seconds. And that's on the VAC, Lightning 1 engine.
And it's a BB rocket!
Now, here you go. Here's dimensions on the size.
Stage 1.
Stage 1 is 1.8 meters, or 6 feet around. Stage 2 is 6 feet. The payload fairing diameter is 6 feet. And the overall length is 95 feet. So it's longer than the Electron.
How long is the Electron?
It's 55 feet.
Okay, so it's about 40 feet longer.
Yeah. So, if we go here...
I feel like that's fairing, though. Because if you look at it, the fairing is much larger than on an Electron.
Okay. All right. Look at this. So, this is interesting. Their next rocket is called the Firefly Beta. The difference in the Beta, which it doesn't look to be much different, but so the performance is higher. 8,000 kilograms to low Earth orbit.
It's
and
different.
5,800 to synchronous.
The Beta has 5. Oh, the Reaver 2. Reavers.
It has 5 Reaver 2s instead of 4.
The other one was Reaver 1s.
Okay, so
this has
a
completely different.
So listen to this.
Rocket.
Its thrust in a vacuum is 4,261 kilonewtons.
Oh, this is larger as well.
Or 9. I'm sorry. 953,910 foot-pounds and an ISP of 334 seconds. Why is it only giving me vacuum readings? 194 kilonewtons on the upper stage, 43,613 foot-pounds with an ISP of 325.
And it
seconds.
Has 1 Reaver, 1 VAC, which
yeah,
is
so
another.
It's an optimized engine.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go ahead and finish on what we already kind of looked at the Genesis, but the Firefly Gamma, which is their next vehicle, is a future vision reusable vehicle.
So this is concept.
The
right
world, yeah, this concept. So it says the world's most versatile launch vehicle.
Ooh, they calling them out.
It's a rocket plane.
Sorry, I read faster than you.
So it has the same technologies and engines and stuff as the. Alpha and Beta. Wow. Optional air launch or ground launch configuration. Wow. Hypersonic transport on Earth. Highly reusable, 75% by cost. The flight hardware to be recovered and reused. Man. Highly differentiated to SpaceX and Blue Origin.
See?
Dedicated small sat solution. Horizontal landing on a runway. Use any airport. Safer and significantly more efficient than propulsive vertical landing.
Any
wow,
airport.
Dude. Boom. That was a hit, yo. That was a hit.
But total concept.
Yeah, it's not flying, and we haven't heard anything about it either. So okay. Last and not least, okay. This is their Genesis program. Was selected by NASA to be part of the Commercial Lunar Payload Services contract.
Yeah.
In order to meet the needs of NASA and our commercial customers as early as possible with the most proven commercially available technology, we have partnered with Israel Aerospace Industries. IAI made history in February 2018 when they launched the first ever commercial lunar mission with Space ILS.
I don't know what that is.
anyway, so it's a lunar landing system.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a lunar lander.
Listen to this. It says, proving out Falcon 9 rideshare integration with GTO payload.
Using why are they calling out other industries so hard?
Gotta be ruthless. I think Elon would agree. Use of phasing orbits for launch and mission schedule flexibility. Survival through launch and lunar transfer environments, including transit through the Van Allen belts. Ranging precisely without the use of GPS. Successful lunar capture. Successful transfer to lunar orbit. Validation of over 95% of the hardware and systems. Establishing a core team with expertise in building real lunar landers.
Awesome possum.
There's the rundown on Firefly Aerospace out of Austin, Texas. So, I just thought that was cool. Their rocket looks beautiful. I mean, really.
They're like the U.S. Rocket Labs.
And the big one that they were just looking at, it looks like a Falcon Heavy.
It looks like a Falcon Heavy, but it's not very large.
No, it's small. It's a small Falcon Heavy. That's all it is. And so, anyway, look, here's them testing their engines and stuff. Look at that. That's so crazy. It does look like a Falcon Heavy. What is this? Look at that. They must have flown. Yep. Look. Isn't that something? It's a beautiful rocket. So, props to Firefly Aerospace. We appreciate all y'all hard work on reusability. We think that's fantastic. We want you to keep it up so we can watch this beautiful rocket fly some more.
Maybe let's be a little more friendly.
Yeah, maybe. You know, get along. We're all, hey, listen, it's like I say all the time. What do I say all the time?
I have no idea. You talk a lot.
Unity through space.
Okay.
You know?
You do say that a lot.
it's how, you see, space is one of those things where it doesn't even matter who the president is. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world anywhere. It's something we can all come together over because it's a natural interest of ours. You know, we all want to know where our place is in the universe. We all want to know about what's going on in the solar system. We all want to know about those things, no matter of borders, wars, presidents, whatever it may be. We can all come together over it, and that is what makes space and space travel unique to this day and age.
Yes.
So I think unity through space is a great motto, you know, going forward. But all right, probably time to close this out, I'd say.
Yeah.
We got you guys a nice episode to be released tomorrow, but we just wanted to say one more time, we appreciate all you guys and your patience and everything. It means a lot to us. So if you want to hit us up, you can go on Twitter and hit up @SpaceTravelPod. That's where I normally can be reached at, or my personal Twitter account @LukeStamey20.
Mm-hmm.
What's your handle?
I have no idea.
I think it's @AmandaStamey19.
Okay.
You can hit her up there. Or you can go to the Anchor page. I think it's anchor.fm/spacetravel, and you can check us out there. There's also a support button on that page. You can click that if you want to show some kind of monetary support to the podcast. We'd much appreciate it. There's also a Patreon page if you guys want to go check it out. It's patreon.com/spacetravel, and you can show your support there if you like as well. Other than that, we appreciate everyone once again. We hope you have a great evening. This is Luke Stamey
and Amanda
with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.